Hi, this is Pete Cironis, and I am very excited to be with Ms. Samara Shulman, the president of On Point Consulting, and we are going to talk about one of the coolest, complex, confusing, depending upon whatever article you're reading, topic, and that is quantum information science, quantum information technology, or simply quantum computing. Samara, it is great to hear your voice, and how are you?
I'm great. Great to be here.
What you and I have talked about for years is how to just break it down so that our audience understands that at the end of the day, it's technology looking to potentially solve problems. In 2018, the Quantum Information Act came out. So that's one for our audience to go read about. And quantum information science is not something new to the research and development community, but it's about really fast computation. And I would say Samara and I talked about is that the faster we can solve problems from a computational standpoint, lives are saved. Whether it's a disaster that's coming from a hurricane and have to be preparing for it, or discovering where we have a cancer gene that can be detected before it mutates, that's a perspective, Samara, and I'll pivot back to you on how we think of technology like quantum computing to solve challenges, but also to hopefully extend life. So, with that context, what are your thoughts when you hear quantum computing or when you're leading a discussion on it?
I'll be honest. My first thought is, or at least the feeling is, intimidated. Because as you and I talk all the time, we both come from liberal arts backgrounds. And my first thought is, what does a history major with a master's in education know about quantum? But it's interesting, I think, what we can talk about and the conversation that we need to be having all around is quantum in the real world. So quantum allows computers, quantum computers can basically do parallel calculations better, more quickly. They can do them versus the classic computers that we all know have come to love and depend upon. I heard a doctor speaking, and she was talking about the implications of quantum in just the medical field and the drug field. And whereas now it usually takes about upwards of $2 billion in 10 years to come up with drugs, vaccines, and whatnot, quantum will significantly cut that down. I mean, that alone, just picture being on the other side of that equation. We look at COVID, and let's take a look at how quickly that vaccine came about and everything, and how they're still working it and how they're changing it and all of that. Quantum will even cut that significantly. Can look at it from all angles. Maybe the first vaccine would have been able to solve all different variants that have come forth from there. Another real world implication, logistics. So all of us get packages using quantum computing. These companies are going to be able to optimize their warehouses and optimize efficiency among workers. What's being sold the most and where should that be placed in the warehouse? Or where does that product go the most that we can place it in the warehouse and move things along even quicker than we're getting packages out today? It's a very interesting topic. And I think the other topics surrounding the main topic of quantum, those are even more fascinating to me. One of the terms I liked was transdisciplinary technology. One of the terms that I kind of came up with when I think about it, and that was your original question, Pete, as I go on and on, I came up with proactive technology. But there is a proactiveness feel to this. If you talk to anybody working on quantum right now, they will tell you that the science is not there. It's not that we've figured out quantum 100%. We haven't, but the surrounding things are the things that we want to start to be proactive about. The workforce, the collaborative portion of it, the dependencies among the federal government, the different agencies and departments, and how they're going to be working together for quantum. The real world part of it is that quantum computing and quantum computers are very cost prohibitive. So which agencies are going to have that? Who's putting the standards around it? NIST will put standards around it, but they can't just do it without talking to, let's say, energy. How are you using this to protect the critical infrastructures? climate, EPA, how are you using it to predict the different patterns in weather and NOAA and just all the different agencies? So to me, those are the interesting topics right now and ones that we can think about and ones that we can help with as well.
I think when you Google or whatever your search mechanism is, the word quantum, it really, to me, Samara, does, yes, there's a physics component, qubit instead of bit. And that's one of the things, folks, a qubit, a Q-U-B-I-T, instead of one state, ones and zeros when you talk about quantum computing. I mean, there's an absolute technical expertise, and thank God people studied it. But quantum theory is something that is being studied and has been for years. Scientifically, and having worked at the Department of Energy for a number of years, I was very fortunate to be right down the hall from people who studied quantum physics, explained qubits. Unlike normal computer bits, what it means to have a multidimensional state. And that's what leads to going back to Einstein himself, superpositioning and entanglement and decoherence. So there is a lot of geekiness side to it, but I appreciate, Samara, how you brought it home with some of the uses and benefits, whether that's for a financial institution, wanting to have, you know, better trading simulators. When you think of Wall Street, for example, improving fraud detection. You mentioned the healthcare industry. There are so many use cases when it comes to quantum computing and the promise of it. We know there's some really amazing people across federal government, DOD, DHS, obviously DOE, EPA, studying the promise of it. Let's pivot to what it's like inside the Beltway with a technology that offers this promise. And as you say, it could be cost prohibitive. People at some point are going to be buying services for quantum analysis or communications. And you talked about the workforce. So let's delve into that. There's a literacy thing here. And how would you expound on some of that element of building quantum into the culture and how a company like yours across other technologies has helped agencies build that culture of communication and content and, frankly, intelligence?
You said it right there. We need to start building quantum into our culture. So while I said before that the science is not there 100%, and quantum scientists will tell you that, but now is the time to start building it into the culture. We all need to just get smart on quantum. We need to know that it is out there. We need to know that it's coming. I mean, look, you think back and we think of the race to space and the whole space race and everything that surrounded that. This is the modern equivalent of that. And now multiply that by having social media, having the communication out there, having all the agencies in the government that have come about since then, having all of that, having the workforce, having the training, having how the field of education has changed since then. Now that this is here with quantum, we need to figure out how to do that and how we bring quantum into the conversations. I truly think at this point, that's the most important thing that we can be doing, is recognizing that it is here, that this country is working hard to stay at the cusp of the science portion, and that it's up to the rest of us to recognize that it's here. I would take a step back. Prior to workforce, there's education. How do we start getting high school, middle school excited about the promise of quantum and interested in quantum, be it the science or the messaging around it? Communications, collaboration, so important this day and age, because each of us has so much information at our fingertips. We need to make sure that there are people who are comfortable with helping to get that information out. So a company like OnPoint, one of the things that we truly value and that we believe is a true differentiator between us and other companies in the Beltway is that we instill our culture into our projects. And part of our culture is that always be learning. And this is the perfect example of that. We don't have all the answers yet to quantum, but we do need to stay smart on quantum. We need to keep up with the material, with the science that's being developed. It's our duty to help to spread that word. So whether we are working on a project that involves quantum or just starting to spread the conversations around quantum, that is what we're focusing on.
I just want to kind of encapsulate a lot of what you said, because for the audience, I thought you really broke it down, that this technology aside, there are people working on it, have been. and there will be really smart people like we have today with traditional computing supporting that operational technology, that information technology. But thank you for hitting on this, the talent to acquire, or should I say the journey to acquire the talent. We have to be thinking about that now. What are those needs? Obviously, OnPoint helps that today with the federal government, solving grand problems, being able to translate a requirement into something that can ultimately add that value to the constituency, our country, and those that will hopefully benefit from this amazing science. But folks, when it really comes down to, Samara, you brought a report to my attention by McKinsey and Company about what is quantum computing, a new approach to calculation that uses principles of fundamental physics to solve extremely complex problems very quickly. If it's going to cure cancer, going to make our food safer, going to keep the water cleaner, going to keep the air cleaner, sign me up when we're going to be able to start taking advantage of quantum compute power. And my parting shot is just the emphasis that I know you bring to the table and on point, and that is educating the masses. You know my phrase, educate, inform, and enlighten. You all do that in spades, and I think we're going to need that more so than ever with quantum. So with that, floor is yours, parting shot. What would you like to leave with our group today?
One of the phrases I said before, get smart on quantum, that's the bottom line. I do need to give credit where credit is due. I heard Dr. Yaakov Weinstein use that line in a conference that I went to recently, the Emerging Technology and Innovation Conference at ACT-IAC. He is one of those scientists who understands the ins and outs of quantum that you and I do not, nor do we need to. But to hear a scientist where his big line was get smart on quantum, that's what we need to do. As you and I have spoken, we need to learn it. We need to talk about it. We need to know that it's there. We need to help spread the word that it is out there. And we need to start getting people excited. I mean, the real world implications that this will have for all of us is just tremendous. And I think it's important. I look at my young kids and my oldest, who's 7 years old, who does code ninjas and loves coding. We have to explain it to the seven-year-olds out there who love computers, love learning, love science, love experiments, all that kind of stuff, and let them know and be fascinated, just like we explain space to them, that this is the next frontier for all of us. This is going to help solve problems that will affect all of us.
Well, Samara, thank you as always. You've inspired me. Your curiosity is, I think, what defines you. And I love the story about the opportunity that it will present. It was great to chat with you, and I look forward to the next time.
As do I. Thanks for such a fun conversation.